This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Home. What does that word mean? And how has the concept changed? Documentary photographer Keith Dannemiller set out to explore those questions during a month-long residency in Wilson, North Carolina. His photos of daily life in that small city became his latest project called Wilson. He completed it as part of the Eyes on Main Street residency program. Keith Dannemiller joins me now from Mexico City to talk about the project. Welcome, Keith.
Hi, Frank. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk with you and your audience out there.
Good to have you here. You know, it's interesting. You're in Mexico City. You've spent many years there. You were raised initially, the first 12 years, I think, in Akron, Ohio. You did spend time in the South. Talk about this project in a southern small city, Wilson, North Carolina. What attracted you to it?
Well, the idea that I could possibly be for a whole month in Wilson, North Carolina, originated in a online application for a residency there through the Eyes on Main Street. And what attracted me was the idea through my photojournalistic career, I have entertained the notion of doing something besides photographing here in Mexico, doing something on the diaspora of Mexicans to the United States and places that they ended up. I never really got to do it. When I saw the possibility of doing this residency, I immediately in the application mentioned that that's what I would like to do, is to focus on the Mexican community in North Carolina, knowing that there was a large community there around Wilson and other counties in eastern North Carolina. And so that, coupled with the idea that I had not been back to North Carolina for something like 46 years. The last time that I went was with two friends from when I lived in Nashville that I shared a place with, Tommy Goldsmith, who happens to be a journalist and musician and works in Raleigh there with you, and Steve Runkel, who were two musicians who had come to Nashville to make it in the music industry there. And Steve, may his soul rest in peace. And we went to the Union Grove Old-Time Fiddlers and Bluegrass Festival. So that was 46 years ago. I had not been back to Carolina in all those years. I had visited. I had gone back to the United States, obviously, from here in Mexico. But so there was a personal aspect to being able to go back to Wilson and be there for a month and photograph and be immersed in that kind of life, shall we say.
Well, yeah, particularly because in that 47 years, immigration, in large part from Mexico, has nearly transformed the state of North Carolina, certainly made life here a lot better for all of the cultural infusion and the economic benefits that mostly immigrants from Mexico have brought. And you reached out to a Mexican cultural organization in Wilson. Tell us more about that and why.
That's true. The parameters of that infusion of the Mexican community into eastern North Carolina, say between like 1990 and 2016, I think the Latino population in North Carolina increased something like 12-fold in that time. So I was aware that there was a large Mexican population in the area. I reached out to organization called Amexcan, and the organizer or the head of the organization, Juvencio Rocha, and he helped me tremendously, put me in contact with people in Wilson who I could then, as soon as I got there, this was before I left, as soon as I got there, could actually go meet and talk to them about, you know, life in Wilson and what they have encountered.
Yeah, and more than life, but you really focused on the concept of home. And I think it's a fascinating concept, because if you talk about a diaspora, people who have moved and are now making a new life, you know, where's home? And you chose to focus on that. Tell us what you found.
Exactly. There was, I was trying to look at the idea of home in terms of this diaspora and the people that have gone. And I tried to look at it. One of the things that I wanted to see was or try and investigate someone was the idea of the enduring small town South, and represented in so much literature, represented, you know, in daily life, shall we say, in the South, and then contrast that with somewhat of a dynamic migrant protagonist of this new, you know, sort of multicultural region that is Eastern North Carolina. And there are numerous references throughout Mexican literature, Mexican popular song, with the idea that home for most of the Mexican population is here in Mexico, and there's reasons for that. One of the things, and I'll just throw this out there as sort of in passing, one of the ideas that many people from rural Mexico and small towns have as a link, and a very, very strong traditional link to the place that they were born in Mexico, is the idea of the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord after birth is buried where you are born, so there is an actual physical connection there. That holds people to a very, a very physical connection to the land where they were born. I talked to a lot of people while I was in Wilson. I talked to a lot of people afterwards. One of my friends by the name of Alfredo Corchalo has written a book called Homelands, and I asked him specifically about this idea of home, and what he replied, what he said to me, is something from his book, which is that San Luis Cordero is where my umbilical cord is buried. Love for Mexico City runs red in my veins. The Tierra of San Joaquin Valley is burned into my memory and fingertips. I hold Philadelphia in my mind, El Paso in my soul and heart. The Rio Grande and its gentle Rio Bravo waters flow through me. This is home, the epicenter of my homelands. So there's two things very important, I think, in what he said there to me. First of all, the fact that he uses the word homelands, the plural. It's okay for someone who is in the diaspora, who has come from Mexico, to not necessarily have to choose one country over the other. It's okay for them to have sort of two homes. And once again, this idea of the umbilical cord, that incredibly strong link to the land of Mexico, where a lot of these people during that first sort of diaspora, talking about 1990 to say 2016, where a lot of those people came from. And the strength of that link.
So tell us what you found in Wilson when you put that question to the people you photographed. Maybe you can talk about some of the photos and the stories behind them.
Sure. Lots of different things. There was one guy who is a auto mechanic, has a body shop in Wilson, and I asked him about his experience in Wilson and the notion of home, and what he said is basically that, you know, this is where he passed his adolescence. This is where he got married. This is where he had his girls, his kids. This is where he raised them. And if it were to happen that he would be deported someday, he would have an incredibly difficult time to get used to living back in Mexico. So this idea of asking a question about home, there's no simple answer. There's people that will say, you know, I've become, you know, Americanized. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to live. This is my life. And then there's the other end of the spectrum, the people that say, you know, I have a friend that was, she's a photographer in Minneapolis, and she said, I was born and raised in Mexico, but I've lived in the U.S. for the good part of my adult life. My life has become an interesting duality, two languages, two cultures, two homes, two lives. However, I'll always be Mexican first. I've been in the U.S. incredibly happy for over 30 years, yet my roots are in Mexico and they grow deeper and stronger every day. I do dream that someday I will be back to live there. For sure, I will return when I die. My soul is there. In eternity, I belong there. So sort of the same thing that I think Alfredo Corchalo was saying, that there is the possibility of having more than one home, and that's why he refers to it as homelands. Other people You know, in Wilson, I talked to a young woman who is in the DACA program, and she said to me, I photographed her, and we were walking back to the place where she lives, and I asked her the same question about home, given the instability, shall we say, of people in the DACA program, given the political situation. I asked her what would happen if you were to be deported, if DACA was to be rescinded and you didn't have, you know, legal status as she does now in the States. And she said, I would much rather live in the United States without papers than to go back to Mexico.
Mm. Yeah. Is that the photograph of the young woman on the railroad track?
Exactly. Yeah. That's that photograph.
It's a very telling photo. I mean, this idea of this sort of yawning, you know, this space and transport to some other place in the midst of Wilson. You also, interestingly enough, you've got a picture of a young Anglo kid, right, at a Mexican restaurant. And this talks about the cross-fertilization and some of the cultural benefits that we've received, or at least one way of looking at it. Tell us about that photo.
That's, exactly correct word there, cross-fertilization. This is a young boy, probably 12 or 13 years old, who came with his family to the Mexican restaurant Fiesta Cancun there in Wilson, and they sat down and they ate, and then at the end of it, the staff learned, or someone informed the staff, that this was his birthday. So they took out the traditional Mexican sombrero, the big charro hat. They put it on him. They brought out a piece of cake for him. They put a little candle on it. They sang the traditional Mexican birthday song, Las Mañanitas. When the candle was blown out by him, one of the staff that was behind him, all the Mexican staff that was behind him, started to say, Mordida, Mordida, which means bite, bite, which is also an extremely traditional way for Mexicans to celebrate a birthday. And when you do that, when you go down to take the bite, someone gently pushes your head into the cake. And so the photograph is when he came back up with the front of his face covered with the frosting from the cake. And so it's an extremely simple photograph. Right. But at the same time, graphically simple, but at the same time, it embodies a lot of that cross-fertilization and that infusion, shall we say, of Mexican culture into it.
And also a photo of a mass celebration of the feast day of the Virgin of Guadalupe, right?
Yes. There's it's interesting. There is one sort of traditional Catholic church there where a lot of the Mexican population belongs. And then there is another church, which happens to be Episcopal, a church called St. Mark's. But in reality, the name of the church for people in Wilson and especially the Mexican community is La Guadalupana, referring to Our Lady of Guadalupe, who's Mexican's patroness. There was a procession from the center of Wilson out to that church. And along the way, the Virgin of Guadalupe was in the back of a pickup truck, and people walked in back singing and praying. And all along the way, one of the things that caught my eye was in a lot of the houses that we passed, in the front of the house, on the yard, or attached to the front porch, there were American flags. And so it was a very sort of visual contrast that was going on as we walked along to see that the Virgin of Guadalupe passing all these houses.
This is called Eyes on Main Street, and it's part of an ongoing project in Wilson, very interested in the arts in that city. Fascinating city for a town of 50,000 people, the amount of investment in the arts. This is an ongoing residency. Now you come along with your project, your photographs on display till the end of July, which is already passed. Is it still on display?
Well, what's happening now is the show of the seven or eight other residents, different months there in Wilson, is traveling with the director, Jerome de Perlingue, to China, to Pyongyao in China, where there's a photo festival, an existing international photo festival. And so the photos are going to be seen in China.
How was it received in Wilson?
Very well. I mean, I had a lot of people get in touch with me and say, you know, they went down. It's sort of a city-wide. It opens in April, and there's a three-day sort of festival around the photographs, and then the photos stay up on the street. And a lot of people, you know, commented to me that it was a great time to be there for the actual festival. But then, you know, during the rest of the months that the photos were up there, the ability to see all these wonderful images.
And how fascinating that all of these are going to be, you know, on their way to China. So, again, mm-hmm. So some more kind of cultural exchange going on there.
Definitely.
Keith Dannemiller is a documentary photographer. His latest project is called Wilson. It's part of the Eyes on Main Street residency program. Keith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.
We've got some of the photographs at our website, stateofthings.org. Next on Movies on the Radio, we want to know which cinematic universe that you most want to live in. Is it the magic halls of Hogwarts? How about the cyberpunk universe of The Matrix? Where would you like to be if you could go into Hollywood's fantasy land? What would be the world that Hollywood has created that you would most like to inhabit? Send us your pics at sot@wunc.org, or you can tweet us using the hashtag SOTMovie. And that is our program for today. The State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director, Al Wadarski filling in today with Jenny Lawson helping out. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.